భగవాన్స్ అటెండెంట్ వెంకటరత్నం. శ్రీ వెంకటరత్నం లివ్డ్ విత్ భగవాన్ ఫ్రమ్ 1944 టు 1950. డ్యూరింగ్ ది లాస్ట్ ఇయర్ హీ సర్వ్డ్ యాజ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ పర్సనల్ అటెండెంట్స్. నీల్ రోజ్నర్ కేమ్ టు శ్రీ రమణాశ్రమం ఫ్రమ్ ది యుఎస్ఏ ఇన్ 1968, అటాచ్డ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ టు వెంకటరత్నం అండ్ డిలిజెంట్లీ సర్వ్డ్ హిమ్ అంటిల్ హిస్ పాసింగ్ ఇన్ 1976. Neil's immersion into the spiritual heritage of India under the guidance of Venkatratnam is elaborately described in his book On the Road to Freedom, a Pilgrimage in India. Neil now resides in Amrutanandamayi's Kerala ashram and is known as Swami Paramatmananda. In the following article, details regarding the life of Venkatratnam have been extracted from a 25-page essay written about Venkatratnam by Neil Rosner. He presented this manuscript to us 30 years ago at Sri Ramanashramam. We have also utilized some material from the above-mentioned book. The following is what Sri Venkatratnam personally told me about himself. He was born in Koduru, Krishna district on the 23rd of May 1921, and at the age of 3 months, his father died of a diabetic carbuncle. At 7, his Upanayanam was performed, and from that day onwards, he never failed to repeat the Gayatri Mantra for even a day. Even when in Maharishi service, he would not come into his presence without having done some Gayatri beforehand. From his 7th year till his last, he performed the yearly Shraddha of his parents. He had deep faith in this and believed that the Pitrus, departed ones, would bless him with good health and Brahmajnana. Even when he was physically in a serious condition, he would somehow struggle and do it. He went to school in Gudivada, Hyderabad and Guntur in Andhra Pradesh. At this time, he was somewhat opposed to Hindu orthodoxy and even wrote a paper for the uplift of Harijans, about which he laughed while recalling later. He also now and then would go to see movies of the bhakti type only. He used these occasions at the cinema to test how his mind would react. A scorpion in Hyderabad once stung him, but being afraid to tell his elders, he simply bore the pain until they discovered it and sent him to a doctor. Whenever he had free time from his studies, he would either go to a temple or do japa, sometimes 100,000 in one day. Unquenchable thirst. For some unknown reason, when he was 18, he started experiencing an intense, unquenchable thirst and was drinking nearly 3 buckets of water a day. Although the quantity of urine passed remained normal, he went to many doctors and was even in the Madras government hospital for 1 month, but no one could find a cause or cure. Finally, when he went to Guntur, someone told him that there was a Hanuman Upasaka named Sri Hanuman Das Garu and asked whether he would like to see him. He agreed, and after going there, Hanuman spoke through Hanuman Das Garb saying that Venkatratnam had come and that he should go round a Hanuman temple in Guntur 108 times daily for 1 month and he would become all right. This he did. And on the night of the 29th day, he woke up and on one side of his bed was standing Hanuman and on the other side was a thin, ghostly Muslim. From that time onwards, he was free of the thirst. Marriage proposal. After this, Das Garu initiated him into Hanuman's puja and japa. Later, Hanumanji told Dasgaru that Venkatratnam should go to Thiruvannamalai and serve Sri Ramana Maharishi. After he graduated from school, he thought of using the money from a scholarship he was awarded to go and live in Thiruvannamalai, but his brothers wanted him to get married. A rich family who offered a big dowry and a lucrative post was arranged. Even though his mother knew his temperament, she had to keep quiet since she was under the influence of her other sons. Venkatratnam said that they should first ask his guru, Dasgaru, for permission. They searched him out and after finding him, proposed their idea. Dasgaru said that it would be all right if Venkatratnam got married. When the brothers returned, thinking victory was in their hands, Sri Venkatratnam objected, saying that according to Sastra, a brahmachari must first serve a guru before entering into grihasthashrama, that is, married life. No one accepted this evasive objection, and so he told them that if such a thing is not written in the Sastras, he was ready to burn the Sastras. He asked them to immediately bring the Bhagavata and Ramayana and he would set fire to them. Naturally, they did not want to be a party to this crime. And so, they helplessly let him go to Arunachalam. He, however, told them that he would go only on an experimental basis and if it suited him there, he would stay. Otherwise, he would return. At this time, one of his brothers declared, "You will all see, he will become a sadhu for sure." And this came out to be true at Ramanashramam. Accompanied by a friend, he came to Sri Ramanashramam in 1944. On arriving there, he found that Siva Mohan Lal, an intimate brother Bhakta from Hyderabad, was there. After showing him the ashram, Lal brought him to the presence of the Maharishi and introduced him. Sri Venkatratnam sat down to do japa, but strangely, he could not remember his mantra, even though he had repeated it so many lakhs of times. Suddenly, there was revealed in his heart an infinite expanse of pure consciousness, the Atma, and this experience lasted for some time. He stayed for a few days in the ashram and then returned to his mother, but all the way back in the train, this same experience occurred again and again. He told his mother all this and she said, "Better you go back to Bhagavan. It is clear that he wants you there with him. Only promise me that you will not take sannyasa." He promised and returned to Arunachalam with the blessings of his mother. He later said that it was only much later that he realized the depth of his mother's wisdom in making him promise not to become a sannyasi. At the ashram, he was put in charge of the book depot. He later laughed when telling this because it seems that one astrologer had told him that he would get married and do business, and he really thought this is what happened because he had married Sri Ramana and was selling his books. Afterwards, he became an assistant of Sri Niranjananda Swami, Sri Ramana's younger brother and the Sarvadhikari of the ashram. Then he was put in charge of the ashram library and the books that were kept for the personal use of Bhagavan. Bhagavan personally taught him to bind and stitch books and also to read. Bhagavan's attendant. In 1949, Shiv Mohan Lal asked Bhagavan if Sri Venkatratnam could join as one of Sri Bhagavan's personal attendants. Bhagavan told that he had no objection, but that the office people must give the permission, which they did. Bhagwan was very strict in correcting him, and if anything was done improperly, it would be a matter of 2 days of continuous chiding in front of all the devotees. One evening, Sri Venkatratnam came into the hall and quietly went behind the Maharishi and started fanning him. In the morning, Bhagwan had told that nobody should fan him. Now he exploded and scolded him, saying, "Oh ho, very good, very special. This fellow thinks he is doing a great service. He has so much bhakti, much more than the rest of the bhaktas here. Why doesn't he go and fan all of them and get the punya, that is merit, of fanning the devotees of the Guru? He thinks that by his tapas, he can make me bend to his will." Bhagwan spoke like this on and off to every incoming devotee for nearly 2 days. Finally, when alone with the Maharishi, Sri Venkatratnam broke down in tears and asked Bhagwan to forgive him for having made Bhagwan exert himself so much to correct his fault. Sri Bhagwan graciously said, "Never mind, everyone makes a mistake," and that was the end of the matter. Bhagwan then had about 6 or 7 attendants who would serve him, taking shifts. When it came time to choose shifts, they asked Venkatratnam which shift he wanted. He told them that he would take that shift which remains after everyone else had chosen for himself. So he got the 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. shift, since everyone liked to sleep at that time. This turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because after 9:30 p.m., all the bhaktas would go away to sleep and Venkatratnam and Sri Maharishi would be left all alone for the night. It was at this time that Sri Venkatratnam got his heart's desire to be intimately close to Bhagwan without others around fulfilled. Many nights were spent in spiritual talk or simply gazing on the divine face of the Maharishi. Failing health. By this time, Sri Bhagwan's health was already serious, with sarcoma, cancer, in the left arm. At the sight of the blood while dressing the wound, Sri Venkatratnam would feel faint. Whenever he would come near Bhagwan, Maharishi would rebuke him thus, "Don't come near me. You people come here thinking, 'Oh, Bhagwan is sick. He is dying.' I don't want you to come near me when your mind is full of such thoughts. Stay away." Then Sri Venkatratnam asked Bhagwan that without thinking that Bhagwan is sick or that such and such a thing must be done to relieve the suffering, how can he serve Bhagwan? Bhagwan told him that he should simply play his part as in a drama and do whatever is necessary without having any feeling, and to have the mental attitude of a witness, attending to the work as the situation demands. After this, he again was permitted to attend on the Maharishi. Following Bhagwan's instructions, he began to feel everything as Atma Vilasa, that is, the divine play, and that Bhagwan was simply playing a role as a sick person, although in reality, he was the Paramatma himself. Mahanirvana. After Sri Maharishi's Nirvana on the 14th of April 1950, Sri Venkatratnam felt relieved rather than pained at his passing away. When I asked him why this was so, he said that until that time, he constantly had to be extremely alert to attend to Bhagwan externally, but now he felt that he could devote his mind to him and internally dive into him. Nevertheless, he would feel sad when he thought of the love and concern that Maharishi had shown towards him, and would sometimes weep. After the 10th day following Bhagwan's Mahanirvana, he left for Gudivada and then to Srisailam with a friend. In Srisailam, he used to go to the forest for dhyana and thought he should stay there practicing what Sri Maharishi had taught him, that is, Atmavichara. One night, he had a dream in which Maharishi appeared dressed in a gold cloth and chided him, saying, "Why are you acting like this?" He understood that this meant he should not withdraw, and that Sri Bhagavan was watching over him and protecting him. So he returned to Ramanashramam. Serving mother. In 1952, he went to serve his mother, who was ailing with paralysis and wanted him nearby. She had already spent a year or two at Arunachalam with him in the presence of the Maharishi. When she first came to the ashram, Sri Venkatratnam went and prostrated to her and returned to the bookstall where he was working at that time. On seeing this, Niranjananda Swami chided him for not showing his mother around the ashram and finding her a place to stay. He said, "Oh ho, I see, you are a gunadita beyond all differences and need not serve your mother, is it?" Then Sri Venkatratnam went and got her settled in a room, since the Sarvadhikari had ordered him to do so. Whenever his mother would sit in Bhagavan's presence, she would become completely unconscious of the world. Even after everyone had gone out for food, she would be sitting like that in trance. She told her son this, and he suggested that she sit outside near a window facing Bhagavan. He later related that she really had the grace of Bhagavan during her residence there. When others told her that it was a sorry thing that one of her sons had become a sadhu, she retorted and said that because she was a woman, she could not live as a sadhu, but her desire to do so had found its fulfillment in her son, Sri Venkatratnam. When he came to serve her in his home, she insisted on taking food only from his hands, even though he was not maintaining madi, that is, orthodox procedures. He had personally served and touched the body of the Maharishi, and that consecrated everything he touched afterward, she thought. She always kept a photo of the 21-year-old Maharishi by her head. Every day, after bathing his mother, he would read to her Bhagavatam, as this was her favorite book. As her end approached, Sri Venkatratnam would every day keep the Darbasaya Kusa grass mat under her cot, as it was her only wish that she should die on the Darbasaya and not on the cot. On the last day, he shifted her to the ground in spite of the cold and damp weather and the objections of Venkatratnam's brothers. Then he kept her head in his lap and plunged himself into dhyana. At that time, the same experience of an infinite expanse of grace in the heart, which he had had in Sri Ramana's presence, occurred again, and it was while he was in this state that his mother expired in his hands. Yatra, pilgrimage. After 6 months, he and his eldest sister went on a yatra to North India and performed the karma for their mother in different holy places. He had gone to Sringeri to have darshan of His Holiness Sri Chandrasekhara Bharati Swamiji, who had recently come out of prolonged mauna. He asked the Swamiji for his ఆశీర్వాదంస్, దట్ ఈస్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఫర్ ఆత్మ సాక్షాత్కార. ద స్వామీజీ ఆస్క్డ్ హిమ్ ఇఫ్ హీ వాంటెడ్ టు టేక్ సన్యాస అండ్ హీ ఆన్సర్డ్ దట్ హీ డిడ్ నాట్ నో వాట్ వాజ్ బెస్ట్ ఫర్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ దట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ జగద్గురు సేస్ హీ వాజ్ ప్రిపేర్డ్ టు డూ. ద స్వామీజీ దెన్ గేవ్ హిమ్ ఎ సాంగ్ ఇన్ ప్రైజ్ ఆఫ్ ద జీవన్ ముక్తి రిటన్ బై శ్రీ సదాశివ బ్రహ్మేంద్ర సరస్వతి అండ్ టోల్డ్ హిమ్ టు రిపీట్ ఇట్ అండ్ టు గో టు బద్రీనాథ్ బికాస్ హీ హ్యాడ్ నాట్ టేకన్ లీవ్ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్ అట్ హిస్ సమాధి సైట్ హీ రిటర్న్డ్ టు అరుణాచలం అండ్ దెన్ వెంట్ నార్త్ టు బి కంటిన్యూడ్.